Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Praise the Lord. Well, we got a huge honor this morning. You guys have had the opportunity to hear Dan Taylor before. I have not. I have been gone every single time. But now I'm here. So I get to hear Dan Taylor for the first time. So if he tells any jokes that he's told before, just act like it's the first time. And I'll get in on it with you. But no, seriously, we have a huge honor this morning. Dan just came back from India. Was it a month or so back? And awesome things going there. And I just wanted you to come and share what he and God got to get together on this time around. And he's getting ready to go back. You're going back in July, right?
June.
So, you know, we want to certainly be a part of that. So without any more delay, Dan, just go ahead and come on up. I'll give you the mic and you can just explode all everybody.
Thank you. It's good to be back with you again today. It's good to see friendly, familiar faces. It's good to be with Pastor Dan and Shelby. They've been over to our house a number of different times, and we've been able to pray together, share together. But God has been very, very good to us. I just, as Pastor said, got back from India about a month ago. We spent 5 weeks, 35 days in India. Traveling through the north, we covered a lot of territory, spiritually and physically in 35 days. When you go to India, you get up early in the morning and you just pray over anything and everything that moves all day long. And about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, you fall down. And then you get up and you go do it again. And for 35 days straight, this is pretty much, there was a few travel days mixed in with all of that. But it's just all out, full-blown ministry, presence of God all day, every day, releasing the kingdom of God, seeing people healed, seeing families touched, watching God do what we could never do. And it was just an amazing time. And it's such an honor and a privilege that God would allow us to go and participate in his kingdom like this. The areas that we go into, as I've mentioned before, are all less than 2% Christian. You have 98, 99% of the people that do not know Jesus Christ. Many of the places where we go up into the villages, they know nothing about Jesus in any way, shape, or form. They'll tell us in the villages that you are the first foreigner who's ever been here. You're the first Christians who's ever been into our village, ever, to their knowledge. Maybe there had been 50, 100 years ago, but to their knowledge, we are the first Christians ever coming and bringing the presence of God into these villages. And the honor and the privilege of being able to do something like that, to be the very first Christian that someone meets. And how they begin to think about Jesus is based upon how they see you. And what they see in me, what they hear from me, what they receive from me, is how they think about Christians. And that you are the first one. There's a great responsibility as being the first Christian that someone will ever meet. How many of you ever witnessed to someone and the first thing they do is bring up a negative example of a Christian? Right? And so I don't want to be a Christian. Well, this Christian was a phony. Well, this guy, and they speak negative and they use the negative experiences to be able to use that as an excuse of not coming to Christ. So we do not want to be able to set up any kind of barriers for someone to be able to say, yeah, this Christian came to our village and I don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. We want Jesus to become very, very attractive to them. So we do whatever we can to be able to walk in humility, to walk in brokenness, walk in love. love. We are here just to minister to you. We're not here to condemn you or to condemn your gods or condemn your religion. We are here to magnify Jesus Christ. We just want you to look at Jesus. And we have found that when they look at Jesus, all of a sudden they don't want to look at their gods like they used to, or they don't look at their gods the way that they used to when they look at Jesus, when they see Jesus. We just want them to see Jesus. And so this last time, it was a very interesting trip. We do a little bit of everything. We prayer walk. We go to temples. We go to high places. We go to mountains. We go all over the villages, towns. We pray and we prayer walk. We just do nothing but pray. Other times we'll do house visits. And sometimes, like on this last trip, I can't even count how many house visits that we did. And we just go into the home. We have a little devotional. And then we say, do you have anything that you'd like for us to pray? And we begin to pray for the people and minister to the people. And in those times, there's everything from deliverance to healing to salvation that takes place in the families. You never know what you're going to find walking into these homes. Sometimes we go into the homes of believers. Sometimes doors have opened up to go into homes of unbelievers. An interesting thing that took place on this last trip, I work with a man named Mushtaq. Mushtaq is a priest in an Anglican church, and it's called Christ Church. It's in a state called Himachal Pradesh, HP. And Mushtaq and his wife are from another state called Punjab. And his wife has a large family, but both of them have a large family in Punjab. So Mushtaq's wife's sister, so Mushtaq's sister-in-law, lives in Punjab, and she's a hairdresser. That's what she does. That's her job. But God has opened up the door for her that she is the hairdresser for very, very rich people. People who own hotels, businesses, people that are literally millionaires. Very high caste, very highest caste. These are the business owners. These are the business developers. And she goes in and she ministers to these people as she's doing their hair. She's praying over them, talking to them about Jesus. And so she found out that I was going to be coming. So she began to talk to her clients and said, hey, we have this guy from America. He's a Christian. He knows Jesus. Would it be okay if we brought him here to your home to pray for you? And they all said, yes. So now it's a crazy day. In the morning, we start off with a house visit where it's a dirt floor, no electricity, thousands of flies all over the place, the poorest of the poor. We're praying for women that are being abused by their husbands, husbands that are alcoholics, children that are living in fear and being abused by their daddies. We're in this place of total, complete brokenness and poverty, praying for the people, ministering to them. And then the next place that we go into, we're walking into a mansion with servants and marble tile floors and big fancy homes, and they need the exact same Jesus that the people with the dirt floor needed. And they're just as desperate and just as broken as the ones that are in the dirt floors. And they need the exact same Jesus. And it's the same anointing, same presence of God, same love, same words. There is no difference between the rich and poor with Jesus. The soul cries out all for the same thing. And so God has opened up the doors for us to come into these different places. It's just amazing that it seems like no door is closed to us. And we're not knocking on doors. We're not asking for doors to open. There's already too many doors. I can't walk through all the doors that we already have. And yet they just continue to fly open in front of us. And so Mushtaq, the priest of this Anglican church, very formal, very religious, the liturgy. They are not allowed to clap when they're welcoming their visitors. It's very quiet, all right? And you just cannot imagine how formal it is there. Everyone knows when to stand up without being told. They sit down without being told. I'm looking around. I don't know when to stand up and sit down. You know, I'm a little confused. I am totally lost in this environment. And yet Mushtaq is hungry for the presence of God. And he's an evangelist at heart. And he wants to see his people come into the presence of God and experience the love of God. And so he invited me to come all for Holy Week, from Palm Sunday all the way through to Easter Sunday. And now, this group is the wealthy of the wealthy. They are business owners. They are lawyers, doctors, educators, university professors. These are the high caste people of the region that come to Christ Church. Some of them are born again. Some of them are not. Some of them go through the moves of religion, and they really don't know Jesus Christ. And he brings me into this environment. I am the exact opposite of these people. I am not quiet. I am not highly educated. I am not refined. I am not religious. I am the exact opposite of this entire church. And he brings me in and unleashes me. The night before, I asked Mushtaq, I said, Mushtaq, what are you looking for from me tomorrow morning in church? And he looked at me and he said, breakthrough. I said, are you serious? You really want to go through for breakthrough? Spirit of God moves, takes over. And then he looked at me and said, within the context of Christ Church. In other words, if you could tone it down just a little bit, right? But we went through that week, and God just poured out his Spirit again and again and again. Every day, the crowds would grow and grow and grow until on Sunday, Easter Sunday, the church was just overflowing with people. The presence of God came so beautifully. During one of the services, there was a university professor, highly educated woman. She called Mushtaq on Sunday afternoon. This is on Palm Sunday. Called Mushtaq on Sunday afternoon. And she said, I've come home and I cannot stop crying all afternoon. And she said, I was sitting in the service and the presence of God came on me in a way I've never experienced before, to the point where I had to get up and leave the service to collect myself because I was crying so much. And she was just saying, thank you for bringing this man. Really what she's saying is, thank you for allowing this to happen in our church. It was a very courageous thing for him to do, because he could have received enormous opposition. In fact, I had preached there once before, or a couple of times before, and there was a small group of people that were opposing me coming in. They didn't like this flavor that was coming in. And they were speaking against me heavily. They began to tell everyone, and they were calling their bishop saying, this white man comes in and knocks people down. I was praying for people and they're falling out in the presence of God, and now I'm being accused of knocking people down. So this time, as we're praying for people, they would not have catchers, they would have holders, and they would hold the people up and keep them from falling down. So, okay, whatever works for you guys, you know. But the presence of God was so wonderful. At the end of it, Mushtaq and we would get up about 6 o'clock in the morning and we would go take our morning walk, and the presence of God would just come. And this man is not spirit filled as far as speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, the gifts of the Spirit. But he's hungry for God. He loves God and he knows the presence of God. He knows when God is moving and he knows how to flow with God moving. And he's very sensitive to the Spirit. And we would take our morning walks and the presence of God would come. And it was like on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus is walking with us and speaking to us and talking, and we're receiving revelation and we're receiving things from the Lord, and we're talking back and forth to the point where we forgot how far we had been walking. We do a 5-mile walk in the morning. It's like we're missing out on other things. But we had such a joyful time, and he was saying, what we've done here is historic. It's never been done in this church before. It's never been done in the Church of North India before, to his knowledge. 1,500 churches, Anglican churches in North India, 1,500. And to his knowledge, they've never had a Spirit-filled believer come and release the presence of God the way that we had done that week. And we saw many, many healings. And then on Easter Sunday, in this culture, it's a very difficult thing for them to publicly acknowledge that they are going to become a follower of Jesus Christ, especially right from the very beginning. If you invite someone to receive Jesus Christ publicly and they respond, they can immediately begin to receive persecution from other family members that are not Christian yet, or from people in the community. They can be ostracized very, very quickly. But that morning on Easter Sunday, I invited them to become followers of Jesus Christ. For the first time, you've never made the decision to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And today, you're making that decision. I will become a follower of Jesus Christ. I would like for you to raise your hand. And at first, There is nothing. And the one thing we're learning more and more and more is to be patient and just wait. Just wait. Because the presence of God does what we cannot do. And so I just stood there and we waited. And all of a sudden a hand came up. And boy, you ought to have seen the head snap up. You know, every head bowed. They're looking, you know. And then all of a sudden, another. There must have been at least 30 hands that came up. And it was like their hands just stayed up the entire time. It's not like they put it up and put it back down. They kept their hands up, saying, I will become a follower of Jesus Christ. It was an amazing morning of the presence of God there. We had the media that came, radio, TV, newspapers. They all came. They filmed part of the service. They took bunches of pictures. It was all over the newspapers from Good Friday through Easter Sunday. It was all over the newspapers about what was taking place at Christ Church. It was just an incredible witness and testimony of what Jesus Christ was doing. Now, there, Mushtaq, of all people, there's, once again, 1,500 churches, and it's called Church of North India. The bishop over all 1,500 has called Mushtaq and asked him to take a position as the evangelism coordinator for the entire nation of India. It just happened to be Mushtaq, the guy that I've been hanging out with, right? You can't make this stuff up, right? People had asked me, what's your vision and strategy? I have no idea. We go, we pray, and God does things that we could never have come up. We could never have made this stuff happen. We could never have thought of this stuff to be able to work out the plan. Okay, this is my plan. How silly. God just comes and he moves and he does what we cannot do. And so that has not totally taken effect yet. So we're asking for prayer that this move would transpire. They've never had an evangelism director in the last 200 years of their church history. They've never done evangelism before, but their churches are dying. They know that their churches are dying, and they want to do something to bring life. So they called Mushtaq, because in Mushtaq's church, life, they're hearing about the stories of life and evangelism, and the church is growing. It's probably about the only CNI church in the entire nation that actually is growing. And they're moving in the presence of God. And so they've invited him to become the evangelism director. And Mushtaq told me, he said, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to bring you in, and we're going to do region by region, and we're going to bring all the priests together, and we're going to release breakthrough for the priest first, and then we're going to begin to bring all of their churches together in each one of these regions, and we're going to have revival conferences for all of these churches and do evangelism. And he says, we need to wake up the priest first. We need to get the priest filled with the presence of God first. So we need to work with all of the leaders. And we're going to, and he said, we want to work very closely with you to bring you in. And now there's 29 states in India. If this happens, 25 out of the 29 states will be open for the Spirit of God to come into these mainline denominations, which is just amazing to me. It just blows me away. A man, a good friend of mine, he has a house church network of about 30,000 house churches. It's huge. His name's Josh. And Josh was telling me, he said, Dan, what you're doing is things that we've been praying for 20 years. We've been praying for the mainline denominations to open up for revival, because they have the people of influence. They have the wealthy people. They have the business people. They have the educators. They have enormous amounts of property. They have what it takes to sustain a revival and make it go further and deeper throughout the entire nation. They are people of means that can be able to do much more than what the poor can do. And we need to be able to see this revival from top to bottom and from bottom to top. It needs to cover the entire spectrum of India, where every single caste is broken down and destroyed by the presence of God. So we're very excited about the church, the Anglican Church. Well, I got another contact. A man contacted me. He is the leader of the Church of the Nazarene in North India. Almost the same way. Very religious, very quiet, very structured, not spirit-filled, and all of their churches are dying. And they don't have very many churches at all. And what they do have are very, very small. He invited me about a year and a half ago to do a small pastor's conference, 20 or 30 people. And what was so beautiful is each time people invite me to come, they never put any restrictions on me. They never say, don't pray in tongues, don't prophesy, don't heal the sick. Nothing. There's no restrictions. And which is so wonderful, because if they put restrictions on me, I'd have to say no. Because what are you asking for? If you don't let me do what I do, why are you bringing me in? It's just not necessary for me to come. And so we did that pastor's conference, and I didn't hear from him for a year and a half. And I thought, well, okay, kind of end of that. And I've got so many other things going on, I didn't give it that much thought. Well, all of a sudden he contacted me again and said, Dan, I'd like for you to come and do another pastor's conference, but this time in the state of Punjab. I said, okay, sounds good. Well, it turned out that the pastor's conference, the pastors got together and decided, let's just bring all of our churches together and let's do a big evangelism project instead. And so when I get there and I'm expecting a pastor's conference, they bring me into this great big huge wedding banquet hall, and there's almost 1,000 people sitting on the floor. We did two nights. The first night we had about 1,000 people. The next night they said they had about 1,300 people there. We came in and we just released healing. What was interesting is his name is Vijay. Vijay told me, he said, Dan, the main reason we invited you to come is because we just want you to pray. I said, you just want me to pray. Because what happened last time was we're prophesying, we're healing the sick, we're praying for people, we're ministering to people. They're being touched by the presence of God as we prayed. They never experienced that before. And so we just want you to pray. I said, well, do you want me to preach at all? I said, yeah, you can preach, but we want you to pray. I said, okay, all right. And sure enough, I really didn't preach very much. 2 or 3 minutes, and then we prayed. But once again, just hundreds and hundreds. You've got 1,300 people there. And there's no way that we have enough time or energy to be able to lay hands on every single person. And so we just said, anybody that is in pain, anybody that is sick or in pain, stand up. And there must have been at least half of the congregation that would stand. And we just prayed and we just released healing, release healing, release healing, release healing. And just receive healing, receive healing. And then after we got done praying, what was interesting is when I'm praying, there is no interpretation. They have no idea what I'm saying. They don't understand a single word of what I'm saying. I'm just praying. And then after I get done, I ask the interpreter, have them examine their bodies, and how many of you do not have pain? All the pain is gone. How many of you the pain is gone? And they would ask that question, and hundreds of hands are shooting up all over the place. And you can see them moving around, their knees, legs, stump, pain is gone, pain is gone. And I just, pain is gone? And I look, pain is gone? And they're smiling, laughing, they got hands raised. Hundreds of people received healing just that fast. And God was just sweeping through this place. And so they got pretty excited. And once again, these people are not spirit-filled, all right? They've never seen this before. They've never experienced this before. And so God is moving in the Church of the Nazarene. And now they've invited me to come back to do another evangelism conference next year. And now Vijay wants to take me into several other states doing evangelism conferences and working together with the Church of the Nazarene as well as other private churches and different groups and organizations. So now we've got two mainline denominations that have opened up. So then I'm in Punjab with Mushtaq. We had done a pastor's conference. And at that pastor's conference, there was about 80 pastors, private pastors, just independent house church pastors. And we had about 80 pastors there. And Mushtaq gets up and says, you have 80 pastors. You have approximately 100 people per pastor that you have influence over. So therefore, if we brought them all together, we would have 8,000 people. So he said, I would suggest that next year we come and we have a 3-day revival conference and we bring everyone together with the goal of having 8,000 to 10,000 people for 3 days. And the pastors got fired up, excited about it. I'm sitting there asking my interpreter, what's he saying? What's he saying? What's he saying? What is happening with me that I do not know? I feel like there's plans being made and I have no clue what's happening right now, you know? And she's sitting there interpreting. I go, oh my God. Sit there and you go, you just boggles your brain. God, how did you do this? This is amazing to me over and over again. So Mushtaq takes me to a Methodist huge compound. It was built by missionaries almost 100 years ago, I think. But they have this huge compound. They have a Methodist school, 100 students. So it's very large. And connected with this is a Methodist church. And so Mushtaq's sister-in-law is the... And so we go visit her. And then we go next door and we visit the church and the pastor, meet the pastor. Well, Mushtaq and the pastor get to talking. And next thing you know, we've been invited to come back next year to do an evangelism conference for the Methodist Church. They're hoping for 3,000 people. They got a great big huge area. They're going to set up a tent within their compound, and they're hoping for 3,000 people to be able to come. So now we have the Methodist Church, the Nazarene Church, the Anglican Church. None of them are Spirit-filled. None of them have experienced the presence of God the way that we're talking. And they're inviting Jesus to come in and have His way. Unbelievable what God is doing in North India. These doors that are opening up. And the beautiful thing is they don't know anything about me. They never ask, where is he from? What has he done? You know, I never get any of these questions. All they care about is he has the presence of God. Let's go. That's all they're looking for. They're not asking for my credentials because I don't have any. My only credentials is that I have the love of God. I have the presence of God. That's the only credentials we need. You know, it's interesting. I've never cast out a demon once that asked me for my credentials. Are you ordained? It's the kingdom of God that is moving and being advanced. That's all that God is asking of us, is to allow us to carry His presence. And we can be what we can never be. And we could do what we could never do. And it's as simple as releasing the presence of God that is within us. And that is growing more and more and more all the time. And we're so very thankful for what He's doing. Last thing on that trip, I went down to a state called Orissa. Orissa is the highest persecuted state, nation of India. Much Christian blood has been shed there. Many Christians have been killed in Orissa. One missionary and his two boys were trapped in a Jeep, and the Jeep was set on fire, and they were burned to death years ago. Known as a place of great bloodshed and pain and persecution for the Christians. They live in constant alert of knowing that something could happen anytime. Context. God is using this man to multiply house churches. And in Orissa, and a state next to it, Chhattisgarh, about the same, over 30,000 house churches. Every house church has to have at least 10 members for it to be qualified as a house church. So he has at least 300,000 people, house church network, all within these acuted areas. He wanted me to come down there and do a leadership conference. And so we did one in Chhattisgarh, and we did another one in Orissa. We did 3 days in each place. And he has this compound. It's all walled in, and he has some buildings within the compound. And this is where he brings the leaders in. And he'll bring the leaders in. And at the first one, we probably had maybe a couple of hundred, maybe 250 leaders. And we had 3 days with them. One night, they began to get a little loud and began in their worship, and they began to dance, and they were just singing loud. And Josh actually got up and stopped them for a moment so they could close all the doors and the windows so the sound would not carry out at nighttime into the village and stir up trouble. And after everything was closed, he said, okay, you can go again. And they began to go. He said, you can come outside. You can even go up on the roof, but stay on this side of the roof where they cannot see you out there. We do not want you to be seen. As we're driving into the village area, they stopped the car, and they said, Dan, we need to get you in the back. And I didn't quite realize what was happening at the moment. Although I realized, okay, get me in the back. And they had curtains on the windows of the Jeep. And so they closed all the curtains and stuck me in the Jeep so they wouldn't see the white guy coming into the compound. They are very cautious. He would have scouts out on the road outside of the compound all day and all evening watching to see if there was a mob beginning to form. And that's how they think. That's how they live constantly. At one point, there are some young men that came up. And they wanted to take a picture with me. And I wasn't thinking I didn't even think about it. They took the picture with me. And Josh, he walks in and saw that, goes up and takes the camera and deletes the picture. No pictures in here. Wow, we really need to think differently now. This isn't just a normal place anymore. This is a place where people can get hurt very quickly, very easily. But what was really beautiful in the conference, to our knowledge, every single person that needed healing received healing. Every single person that had not been baptized in the Holy Spirit received the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. And at the second conference, every single person that had never prophesied before, we activated prophecy, and every single person prophesied. And it was so much fun watching them prophesy for the first time. You've seen the tears, the laughter, they're getting touched by God. All of a sudden, they're scared and they're trying to have something from the Lord. And next thing you know, it starts flowing. You see the confidence rise. You see the faith come up. And you see the person they're prophesying to just fall down on their knees and begin to weep. And we just turned it into a Holy Ghost breakdown. It was just an incredible time watching these men and women prophesy over each other for the first time. And we're activating things that had not been activated before. And so we're very, very thankful that God would allow us to be used like this. So now, God willing, June 23rd, I get on a plane to go back. And this time we're going to be doing things a little bit differently. One prayer request that I have is just pray that God would continue to cover me in India. For me to go there and do what I do is highly illegal. And get thrown out of the country and have my visa revoked very easily, except for the grace of God. And we know that God has opened up India, that I've been sent by God. So we do not live in fear. We do not. But what's happening is as the platforms are getting bigger and bigger and bigger, the visibility becomes larger. And so we need, number one, pray for me to have wisdom not to accept any invitation that is not given by God. I need discernment. I don't want to automatically say no, but I also cannot automatically say yes. So pray for God to give me wisdom and spiritual discernment to be able to look at an invitation and go, no, no, can't do that one, no. I've already had a couple of those that I had to turn down. It just wasn't wise. Other times I'm going, God, if you want me to do this, I'll do this. I was speaking with my friend Josh. I hold myself accountable to him. He's the apostle that I place myself under in India, Indian apostle. And so I was talking to him about all of these open doors. At first he's looking at me going, no, you can't do that. No, no. And then I began to share, well, this invitation, this invitation, this invitation, Methodist, Nazarene, Anglican. And then he looks at me and he goes, brother, this is God. He said, you have to do that. Just a minute ago, you said, I can't do it. The first reaction is to think, you can't do this. But then when you move into the Spirit, you say, wait a minute. If God says to do this, we have to agree with God. And he looked at me and said, brother, you just have to do this. And whatever comes, comes. I said, okay. And I told him, I said, Josh, I'll never do anything in India without your permission, without your blessing. If you ever say no, I won't do it. I hold myself accountable to him. And so, we're very excited about the future opportunities. So anyway, on this trip, I'll be leaving on the 24th, and Greg is coming. He's going to meet me a week later. You will be there by July 3rd? July 4th? Okay, we connect on July 4th, and we're going to be in a place called Kulu. You have been in Kulu twice before. You know Kulu, and you know the move of God, the presence of God we've experienced there, and they're begging for more. I mean, they're really wanting this thing bad. And so me and my team are going to be there in Kulu for that first week. We're going to do a two-day revival conference, and then we're going to do 3 days trekking villages in the mountains. There's a man, Hetram. I don't know if you remember Pastor Hetram, gray-haired man. Silver hair. We went up to his house up by the, remember the river stream? And we went up in the mountain. We went to his house. Okay. And, I had made a commitment to him that we would trek villages that do not have any Christian witness in these mountain areas. And we're going to take 3 days of trekking villages and just walking, prayer walking, and asking God to give us opportunity to pray for the sick so that we can talk about Jesus. And that's what we do. We ask, is there anyone sick, anyone in pain? I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High God. We pray in the name of Jesus. Would you like for us to pray for you in the name of Jesus? They say yes. God heals them. And then we ask them, we say, this God that you do not know, you do not worship, you made no offerings, no rituals, no sacrifices. He loves you, healed you for free. Do you have any questions about this God? And they start asking, who is this God? Oh, I'm glad that you asked. And we get to talk to them about Jesus. But now they're asking us to tell them about Jesus. We're not going there trying to convert them. If we did that, we would be beaten and thrown out of the village. But when we come in with love and humility and with healing, they open up and now they want to know. And so we're very excited about this method that God has given to us to go into the villages with. So we're going to be doing that in Kulu. Then on the 4th, Greg is going to come and meet us. And then we're going to be driving about 5 or 6 hours to a place called Palampur. You've been to Palampur. We've been there doing prayer journeys twice. Out of those prayer journeys and out of many other people praying too, it's just our part. We did those two prayer journeys, but it is not a coincidence that now there are 3 young men all going to that region at the same time to plant churches. Never been done before. And now, all of a sudden, 3 young men are all going there at the same time to plant churches. And I know all 3 of these young men. I've worked with all of them before in different areas of India. And so I felt, if they're going to go there to plant churches, we've already been there praying twice. We've broken up the ground. We've opened up the territory. We've been releasing the presence of God. So let's go back one more time and let's visit each one of these young men in their village and in their area. And let's do house visits and prayer walking. And let's do whatever we can to bring the presence of God to help jumpstart their ministries. And so that's what we're going to be doing for that second week in Palampur, which I'm very excited about. God is doing great things there. The other thing, that there's a man there that just got saved recently. In the book of Luke, Jesus told his disciples, when you go into a town, look for a man of peace. Look for someone that you're going to be able to stay with, someone that's going to be influential, that type of thing. Well, this is our man of peace. His name is Bob Blue. Bob Blue means bear. He's just a big old teddy bear. Blue. But Bob Blue is a man of incredible influence in the entire region of Palampur. He knows everybody. And he's acquainted with all the business leaders, all the military leaders, all of the government leaders. Everyone knows him. Everyone loves him. And he does these cricket tournaments. He loves to work with the youth. He's a cricket coach, if you know cricket. Kind of like baseball, but not that much. But cricket is a huge deal in India. So he's put together these cricket tournaments. And one day, I'm on the back of his motorcycle, and we're riding to a village. And he asked me, what's the name of your ministry? And I said, we call it Five Rivers. Five Rivers? We have 5 rivers here. This is the land of 5 rivers. I said, yeah, I know, Bob Lou. I know. He got all excited about it. Well, now he changed his name of the cricket tournament to the 5 Rivers Cricket Tournament. He took our logo off of our website. And now it's the 5 Rivers Cricket Tournament all over the entire region. We walked into our hotel last year. We walked into the hotel. And there the hotel had a plaque because they gave a donation for the tournament. They received a plaque. And I walk into the hotel and there on the counter is 5 Rivers logo. And I'm going, this is really weird right now. Very interesting. So he's got cricket bags with the 5 Rivers logo on them. He's got plaques, he's trophies, everything is, it's, oh geez, Bob Blue. So now we're helping to promote that, and we're giving money towards that cricket tournament where several hundred teenagers will be involved for over a 6 to 8 week period of time. And the pastor that we're working with, Ashish, is working together with all of them, and he's being with those young people every day throughout all of this, building relationships, ministering to them. And it's just an incredible outreach to the community to bring people to Jesus that would never, ever walk into a church, ever. And now we have a method. We have a strategy to begin to minister to the young people. And so we're going to be part of that as far as financially. We're giving, God willing, $1,000 towards that cricket tournament. So that's Palampur. And then after Palampur, we're going to get on a plane and we're going to fly to Leh Ladakh. Leh is in the northeastern corner of Kashmir along the Tibetan border, China-Tibet border. It's all the Himalaya Mountains, huge mountain range right there. It's all Buddhist. Well, I shouldn't say all, mostly Buddhist. You have about 200,000 people in that region and you have less than 300 Christians. It is an incredible place to go for unreached people groups. And I've been there twice now doing prayer journeys, and this will be our third time going back. We have a missionary, an Indian missionary, that lives there now that we're working with. The Moravian Church is there. We're working with them, and we're going to be going to the high places and doing a prayer journey. One place we're going to is over 18,000 feet. I went there last June, and it was a snowstorm when we were there. It was just, no, the storm had actually passed, but you had deep snow everywhere we were up there. And then we're also going to go to the very edge of the Tibetan-India border, where there's been a lot of conflict there. We're going to go take a journey there and pray along the Tibetan border. We're going to be going to the Buddhist monasteries and praying the Buddhist high places. We're going to be doing our prayer journey. We want to encourage the believers there. We want to work with the Moravian Church. We want to encourage the missionary. It is a very, very difficult place to minister. Once again, highly persecuted. We hear about Buddhists, and it's all about peace and inner tranquility. While they'll kill a Christian in a heartbeat. Don't believe everything that you hear. You have to look a little bit deeper. The devil always likes to put a pretty face on what is so evil. All right. So if you would be praying for us, pray for Greg. If you would like to sow into Five Rivers right now, the best way to do that is bless this man to be able to go. He's already determined in his heart he's going. And his bank account says no. Jesus said yes. So he chose to listen to Jesus. He told his bank account to shut up. I love that. I love faith. I learned this a long time ago. Whenever I ask my bank account for permission to go to India, it always says no. Fine, I'm not asking you anymore. I'm going to ask God. And when I ask God, my bank account has to obey God. Right? Amen? I do not obey my bank account. My bank account obeys God. And then we get to do things we could never do. So, pray, and if you would like to sow into Five Rivers, sowing into Greg's trip to be able to go. He's an amazing man of God, as you know, loves the Lord with all of his heart, has a passion for missions, a passion for prayer, a passion for the presence of God. I thank God for a partnership in the gospel with Greg and Connie. But when we travel together and we flow together, minister together, we have such a good time. And we come back with stories. Amen. 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 Just very quickly here, I don't want to keep you long, but I just want to share a scripture. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, beginning with verse 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come unto me, come unto me. One of the methods that I've been using for meditation and prayer recently is I'll take a scripture and I'll be outside and I'll just be walking back and forth. And I'll take that scripture and I'll just repeat it over and over and over again. It's kind of a Jewish way of doing things. And I would just repeat it over and over, and then I'd do bites of it. And I repeat it over and over and over. And as I'm repeating it, I'm meditating on it. And as I'm meditating on it, God's given me revelation. And his presence is on it. And it comes. And it opens up something in the spirit other than just reading it once or twice. It does something to open up the scriptures that it's very difficult to explain other than it brings us into the presence of God with revelation. And with his presence, that all of a sudden you feel like you're experiencing the verse rather than just reading it and learning about it or trying to discern something with it. So I would encourage you to try to use this form of prayer every once in a while, this form of meditative prayer. But so I'm repeating this, come unto me, come unto me, come unto me, come unto me, come unto me. Learn of me, learn of me, learn of me. The invitation of Jesus is always constant. I want you to come. I want you to come deeper. I want you to come deeper. I have more. I want you to know me. I want you to learn of me. Learn of me. Learn of me. I want you to know my heart. I want you to know how I think. I want you to know my mind. I want you to know how I move. I want you to know me. I love you. It's like being in love with someone and you just want to know them. You want to be with them. You want to know more. You want to see more. You want to go deeper. It's like when you're in love with someone, you can't get enough. You'd be on the phone for hours at a time, or it's 3 o'clock in the morning and still, no, don't leave yet. But you have to get up for work at 6 o'clock. I don't care. I want to be with you right now. I just want to be with you right now. And that's where Jesus is. That's how he looks at us. I just want to be with you. I want to be with you. I want you to know me. I want to know you. I want to love you. I want to be with you. I long for you. I desire you. Come unto me. Come unto me. I want you to experience me. I want you to know me. Whatever it may be, where you are, what you're going through, come unto me. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me. Every thought, every feeling, every process, everything you're experiencing, everything you feel like you're not experiencing, whatever phase you are in, whatever season you are in, whatever your need may be, whatever your rejoicing may be, whatever it may be, I'm asking you to come to me. Share it with me. Share your heart with me. Share your life with me. Share your mind with me. Share your time with me. Be with me. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come. 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 Come to me. More. 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 I don't know about you, but in my mind says, I want to seek God with all of my heart. My body, my flesh, my soul goes, I don't feel like it right now. Am I the only one? Please. God, by this invitation, more and more and more, come unto me. I'm inviting you to come. Isn't this an incredible invitation that the Most High God, creator of the universe, who loves you and died for you, says, I'm inviting you to come and receive more of me. I want to be with you. What an invitation. What an amazing invitation that we can come into the spiritual realms. We can move from the flesh and the natural into the supernatural. We can live a life in unity and agreement with the Holy Spirit of God. We can live a supernatural life. We no longer have to live according to the flesh or obey the things of the flesh. I love Judy's spirit. They told her, you have cancer. And basically, she said, no, I don't. I'm going home. What was it? However many months of chemo. You had one chemo, but they told you 5 months of chemo. She said, that's really not necessary. I'm healed. I'm going to go home. You know, when I saw you a few weeks ago, you didn't look as good as you look right now. I had the privilege of being able to see Judy in the hospital, but I love the supernatural. She moves into the supernatural and says, no, I know my Jesus. That's what it comes down to. And Jesus says, I want you to know me. Learn of me. Learn of me. Learn of me. Know me. And Judy says, I know my Jesus. I know that I'm healed. I'm going to go home now. Now, that comes from a revelation. That doesn't come from presumption. I'm not saying that to anybody and everybody. Say, oh, just say that you're healed and go home. No, that has to come from a revelation of truly knowing Jesus and moving into the spiritual realm to fully receive that. If you have not done that, do not go home. Okay? Major disclaimer here. All right? I'm not talking about presumption. I'm not talking about just words. I'm talking about a spiritual revelation that shifts us and moves us from one place to another place. I am able to go to India because I stepped into a spiritual place, received revelation, and now I have faith to receive everything I need to go to India anytime I need to do it. That doesn't come from presumption. It doesn't come from where am I going to get the money or how am I going to make this happen or if I do this and I do this, maybe I could do that. You don't think like that. You no longer are trying to think according to the natural realms. It's amazing. Again and again and again, money has come in not only to be able to pay for the expenses of the trip, but to be able to give offerings to the pastors, to be able to bless them. We've been able to do so many different things from buying a car, buying motorcycles, helping with bicycles, helping to build prayer halls. We've been able to do so many things because God just brings it. Recently, one of my last trips, I was praying. We had like 5 projects. And they had offered me 8 projects. And I said, okay, I'm going to take these 5. Okay, I'm going to pray for these 5, right? And so I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying for these 5 projects. And sure enough, all the money we needed for all 5 projects came in. And I had no idea where it was going to come from. I can't start thinking like that because I don't have a clue. It just doesn't work that way, all right? So this is not according to my understanding or planning. It's according faith in God. We'll pray. And so the money for the 5 projects came in, and I thought, maybe I should have believed for the other 3 too. I thought, maybe I limited it. But now it's like, okay, God, I want you to expand my faith. If you'll answer the prayer for 5, will you answer the prayer for 6, 7? Because the needs are so great. be able to spread the gospel in North India. I ask according to your will for your kingdom, not for me. And God has been giving and giving, using you to partner together with us. And you and I, through your giving, through your prayers, we go to North India together. And you receive the same blessing, the same result that I receive, the same reward I receive. We're all in this together. It's a partnership of the gospel that we believe together, we move together. You send me to India. Thank you. Thank you. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke. Take my yoke. My yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. I am meek. I am lowly. I'm humble. I'm broken. I am meek and lowly of heart. This is where we find Jesus. If he is meek and lowly of heart, we must become meek and lowly of heart to find him. The only way we can be connected to his heart is if we become like his heart, meek and lowly. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We become poor in spirit. We become broken. We become humble. We become desperate. We become lowly, and we connect with Jesus in the low places. We connect with Jesus in the low places. And there we find Jesus. We find the supernatural. We find the kingdom of God. I am meek and lowly of heart, for my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. How many of you ever felt like you had a yoke that was not easy? Well, according to Scripture, that one was not from God. My yoke is easy. Will there be a yoke? Yes. Is there a burden? Yes. But it's easy. It's easy. It's not according to your strength. It's not according to your ability. It's not according to what you can perform. It's not according to what you can accomplish. It's not according to what you can achieve. It's not according to your intelligence. It's according to your faith in the Spirit. My yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Ever have a burden that was not light before? That one wasn't from God. The burden that comes from the Lord is light. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. There's a place of coming into knowing him, revelation of him, moving in the Spirit with him, moving in the supernatural with him. What used to be difficult or impossible now becomes normal. Normal. It's easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come unto me. Come to me. That invitation never stops. No matter how long we've walked with the Lord, that invitation has never ceased. Come to me. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come deeper. See me. Know me. Love me. Be loved by me. Be changed by me. Come fellowship with me. Come into agreement with me. Come into unity with me. Come. Come. Let me show you. Let me show you. I got things I want you to see. I got things I want to show you. Come. Let me show you what you've never seen before. You will see and do what you've never seen and done before. Come. 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 He's always inviting us to come into the secret place. And what's in the secret place? Secrets. Things you do not know. Things you've never experienced before. Revelation. What's in the secret place? Secrets. If you're not in the secret place, you cannot know the secrets of God that he has just for you. He invites you, come. Come unto me. Let's all stand together. Lord, we hear your invitation, and we want to come. But God, we know that we cannot come and remain the same. But God, there must be choices and decisions made for us to be able to freely come. To move from where we are to go to a different place. God, we know that we cannot come to you and stand in the same place. That to come to you requires movement. That we must move from where we are to come closer to you. So God, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would give us grace to move. You would give us grace to say yes. You would give us grace to say, I no longer want to stand in this place because I want to receive your invitation. I want to come closer. I want to move deeper. I want to be with you. God, we ask that you would give us grace, that we would shift our minds, shift our thinking, shift our hearts, that there would be a spiritual shift within us, that we would be able to move from where we are and to be able to say yes again and again and again and again. I know we're all here and we love the Lord. We know the Lord. We've all come to him. But if you feel like in your life, you look and go, I've been kind of standing here in this one spot for a little bit longer than what I should. And today I do feel like Jesus is inviting me to come and to move forward again. To move forward again. If that's you, we would like to pray for you. Just to be able to receive His grace. Receive His invitation. Receive His love. To come into the secret place once again. Or if you're here today and you need healing in your body. You need restoration in your body. Restoration in your soul. Restoration in your mind. And you would like to receive prayer. We invite you to come. And we will pray.
Praise the name of the Lord. You know, God told Moses in the environment of law in Numbers that He said, "As surely as I live, the earth will be filled with my glory." And by the time Isaiah came around, Isaiah saw the angels and they said, "Holy, holy, holy, the earth is filled with His glory." And that was right on the tail ends of Isaiah saying, "I saw the Lord seated on the throne." And we talk a lot about glory, and it's a manifestation of God, but we forget that basically what Isaiah saw was the Lord reigns, but the earth mirrors what's in heaven. So what Isaiah saw was the reign of the Lord and the entire earth saturated with the presence and love of Him. He's on the throne for that reason. He's on the throne for the reason of total saturation of His love and His presence in this place. And what He told Moses at some point will be, the angels, when the curtain was pulled back, said, "Now that He's on the throne, it is." And He's just saying, come and get in it with me. Because it's already here. Let's just get in it together. I'm seated here because this is just what I want to do. And you're all a part of it. Maybe, just maybe, all the screaming and all the squealing and all the things we see on the news of all the terror groups and all those things, maybe all that is just simply a reaction to the love saturation and the presence saturation in the earth. Well, they might as well just give up and quit. Because the Lord just said, He said it is. And if He says it is, it is. And there's no going back. There's no going back to "it will be." It is. Get some things today? Brother, thank you very much. So, such an honor. I just want to remind you, we do support them on a monthly basis, but if you want to designate funds to Five Rivers, just make sure you put that on your envelope. And we're going to go ahead and just do an offering right now. And I also want to say this too, that in the future, if you want to support Greg, just make sure you designate that on your envelope and we'll make sure it gets there. And because you're leaving when? The last week of June or 2nd of July? Okay. So let's go ahead and just minister to what God's doing over in India right now. And I don't know, do you even have any ushers in this place? Is there any ushers anywhere? Is there any envelopes? Just if you need an envelope, just raise your hand, and the ushers will make sure you get one. Just go ahead and come to the front and just hold them up, go back, and if somebody raises their hand, make sure they get one. It really struck me the first time I saw the national emblem for India, that the fact that it was, I'm assuming it's three lions. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know what somebody meant by that, but to me, it's just Daddy putting his stamp on the whole country. They were given in place before they realized they were given in place. So let's go ahead and receive that offering. And again, keep in mind, Brother Greg's going to be going, so we're going to support him too. We'll just have you back as often as we can to see what God's doing over there. It's just fantastic. Just mowing down those denominational lines. Because the bottom line is, every human being is a human being. They all love. They all want God.
That's it.
You were created with the DNA. I don't care what you hang around your neck as far as your affiliation, man. You're a human being. You want God, and that's all.
It. Come on.
You know. All right. Well, I mean, let's go ahead and pass the bucket, and you guys can pass it yourself to each other, so that our usher doesn't have to hold on to it. Father, we just love you and we praise you. We love your presence. There's nobody as cool as you. We thank you for what you're doing, not only in India, but in this country. Father, because I know that even as there are youth that are flocking after political leaders, that's simply a mirror of what you're stirring up in the hearts of youth all over the world, the country. And that you're harvesting your harvest. And I thank you for an increase of your presence in this nation. That as great as our military may be, or whatever man's plans are for it, that your presence will come to the place where it dominates every 50 state. And there'll never be any question as to whether you're good. Because all they have to do is walk outside and look in the streets and they'll find you and you'll be good. Because your people are carriers of you. And you're raising them up by the millions. And I just thank you for it and praise you for it. Everybody agree with that prayer, said? Amen. Amen. Well, go have a blessed week. And if you're not going out, go out to lunch with somebody today. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.